Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I was hesitant to give this talk due to the closeness of the memorial, but I had it prepared and thought it might be a benefit to any who might feel downhearted. So I thank you for your considerations. We are all aware that we live in a hustle-bustle world. Our schedules are well-defined with work, family, and service. We live in a world that at times seems insane. Gun violence, political fraud, lack of concern for others, getting ahead by any means. They can't do that to me attitude. Pandemic fears and the resultant divisive attitude created among families, friends, and coworkers because of those fears, and the general opinionated sour attitude of much of the public identifies the society of our day. Many have much, but it is not enough. Many have little, but no hope of increase. The words of 2 Timothy chapter 3 echo in our ears about perilous times will come in the last days, in the very end of the harvest of the gospel age. This can be a perilous time in the lives of the Lord's people because the spirit of the world creeps in all around them. The Lord's people are the only ones who are on trial for life or death. They have been released from the Adamic condemnation. But all around them, as described in Scripture, neighbors will have conflict with neighbors. Each does what will be to his own interest. Selfishness rules. They will not care what happens to others as long as they succeed. There are those in the world that claim righteousness and religious affiliation, yet love worldly ways and pleasures more than they love God. Often people are seen who are reckless, or they're puffed up with pride, who defy the courts and laws of the land. Our news reporting has countless examples of the arrogance portrayed, as well as in both those of notoriety of high government or public corporate positions, as well as popular celebrities and national sports figures. They deny and defy what common sense or the constitutional law would define as correct. Shootings and murder occur on a rapidly increasing basis, as testified by news outlets on public media. And because it has become so commonplace, we often become desensitized as to the insanity surrounding us when we consider the results of these acts. There indeed is a loss of respect for authority, not only in our country, but throughout the world. And much can be justified. The steady reminders on television, magazines, the internet, and social media of the sin-sick world can have its effect upon the Lord's people. We face the same difficulties as the world does. We might even become callous to a degree, hearing about evil in the world and the acts of inhumanity seemingly being brought to our attention greater now than ever. You hear quite often the brethren say, and rightly so, we really need the kingdom. Perilous times are somewhat easily defined in the world, but these end time days are perilous to our walk too. We know our battles are with the world, the devil, and perhaps the most difficult, our own human nature. The purpose of this talk is to review God's promises to guide us through the worldly confusion, as well as that major battle against self. We need guides to help navigate in these perilous times. We'll look at scriptures that help us cope with the difficulties in society, as well as our internal strife, while hopefully bolstering our faith. We'll look at Bible characters as to how they were affected by the trouble of their times and how their faith provided favorable outcomes. And from these examples, we might find hope and direction to consider when we face depressing situations. Because our desire is to do good and make sincere attempts to overcome the difficulties and demands of the flesh, the world, and the devil, it is not uncommon for any to become depressed in their efforts. I know from time to time I can get down. Things don't seem to go my way. My mood changes. So let's talk about depression. We cite Proverbs 18, verse 14, and this is from the New King James Version. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? We know of some who are ill or who maintain a condition of infirmity for a long time, in some cases for their entire earthly life. Yet they are positive. They would tell us they feel sustained by the strength of their spirit. If we have outward trouble or difficulties with health and wellness issues, they become more bearable if we have inner peace. And we receive that peace, if we let it, through God's promises, which will bolster and motivate our spirit. But when our spirit is broken, as the proverb asks, who can bear it? The will to live may be gone. It is perceived that there's nothing to fall back upon. Physical strength has left us. There is a loss of vitality. There is despair and almost always emotional grief. This describes depression. Who can bear a broken spirit? What is depression? Worldly people use the word depression to cover everything from disappointment in not being invited to a neighbor's barbecue to situations that might drive a person to contemplate suicide. There are many degrees of depression. Depression is defined as a prolonged emotional condition characterized by persistently depressed mood or loss of interest in activities, causing significant impairment in daily life. Possible causes include a combination of biological, psychological, and social sources of distress. The persistent feeling of sadness or loss of interest that characterizes major depression can lead to a range of behavioral and physical symptoms. These may include changes in sleep, appetite, energy level, concentration, daily behavior, or self-esteem. Depression can also be associated with thoughts of failure, feelings of excessive guilt, self-reproach, or worthlessness. And here, in the battleground of the new creature mind, positive reinforcement from the Word of God will act as an aid in overcoming the effects of depression. What are the most common causes of depression? I'm not a doctor, nor have any medical advice or training for any that might feel depressed. I'm hopeful that spiritual advice to the household of faith will be an aid to any who might have symptoms of depression. So this is what I found for the common causes of depression. Traumatic or stressful events, such as physical or emotional abuse, the death or loss of a loved one, a difficult relationship, financial problems. There are, of course, other factors such as certain medications, age, and family history that can be the cause also. Quoting Bible verses that motivate, stimulate, or assure brethren of a correct course in life might be helpful to some. But if the cause of depression is a result of nutrient deficiency or excess, drugs, low blood sugar, hormone imbalance, microbial toxins, medical conditions, or other similar sources, A suggestion to seek medical professional is very much encouraged. The Bible does not use the word depression, but it does describe people who can be called depressed. Would it be more proper to say they suffer emotionally, or are they discouraged? When these emotions continually bear down on our lives, the result can be defined in our modern day depression. But because this talk addresses only those who might be spiritually depressed, and those factors related to medical causes and treatment not considered, I will use the word discouragement rather than depression to describe examples found in the Bible. Applying spiritual assistance for this condition of discouragement is a much better solution and easier to understand. I think most of us have faced discouragement in our lives, that feeling of having lost hope or confidence. Manifestations of discouragement can be very real in the behavioral and physical symptoms we expressed earlier. If you feel discouraged from time to time, you're not alone in your feelings. Confusion is common, especially as we age. Some cannot admit they are discouraged because they think that would be admitting a spiritual problem. We think and act as we do due to many factors that make us who we are. We're all different and unique. But as followers of Christ, we must all be guided and developed by the same Holy Spirit. And we know that Spirit works in the mind to develop the character that not only our Heavenly Father will be pleased with, but that which he can use in his magnificent plan of creation for everyone. And indeed, it will be a perfect creation. Consider our Lord Jesus in the difficult position which he faced after his baptism toward the end of a 40-day sojourn in the desert, contemplating his resolve and dedication to doing the Father's will. Jesus knew the prince of this world had control in the earth. At this point, Satan learned Jesus was unwilling to use his spiritual powers in a selfish way. And Satan then realized Jesus was unwilling to exercise anything but a proper, rational trust in God by refusing to divine bread from stones. Satan was trying to have Jesus prove he was the Son of God. Jesus opposed those attacks. Seeing Jesus very tired and very hungry and in a depressed physical condition, Satan tried a compromise. Satan had control of the earth and the earth's governments. Jesus had undoubtedly reasoned from the scriptures and understood his own mission was to save the world. This would not be an easy task. It would be a tedious plan. It would be a plan full of difficulties. And even more demanding, a plan that included severe physical and mental trials, many dangers, yet with perfect execution in both body and mind required. Would it not be quicker and less stressful to cooperate? Jesus knew the Father's will was to reconcile the world to himself. Here was a way that this could be accomplished without the aggravation and difficulties that Jesus reasoned would occur from the scriptures. Certainly, Jesus was extremely hungry and tired. Considering the difficulty of the path the Father had revealed, and in Jesus' weakened state, this offer might have appeal. What a test of Jesus' faith, trust, and love toward God. We, of course, know Jesus' answer from Matthew 4, verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Or said another way, Don't tempt me to become your follower and servant. I will follow the divine arrangement, no matter what the cost. That is exactly the attitude Jesus wants in us. No matter what occurs that might take you to discouragement, rely on the Father's promises and your faith in him to overcome. Based on your faith, the Heavenly Father has promised to do what will work out for your highest welfare, and he has an infinite knowledge on what that is. The Apostle Paul affirms we should look to Jesus as a pattern for ourselves. If his was a life of trial, discouragement, and conflict with evil, we should expect the same. Jesus' name was to appear evil. He was hated without a cause. His own people rejected him, and he was cast out of the synagogue for telling the truth. All of these things are discouraging rather than uplifting. If the servant is not above his master, and our master is our head and example, we can expect discouragement also. But there is an upside. Discouragement can increase our faith and dependence upon our Lord if we so let it. Rather than seeing the discouragement as separating us from Jesus, on the contrary, it can be evidence that we are received as a son, being properly disciplined for our development, and concerned that we are always trying to please our Heavenly Father. There are quite a few examples in the Bible of those who were discouraged. The first that comes to my mind, and possibly yours also, is King David. He expresses his feelings in Psalm 38, verses 6 to 8. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Here's the expression of one who is severely discouraged. The sickness in his soul, his being, is identified in verse 3 of Psalm 38 when David says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. David's anguish was a result of his sin. This discouragement led to a sadness of heart, which moves into prolonged grief, and then the feelings of failure and worthlessness. This calls to mind Proverbs 5, verse 22, which reads, his own wrongdoings will trap the wicked, and he will be held by the ropes of his sin. Sin is at the root of David's discouragement. But David realized his transgression was discovered and when revealed to him by Nathan, the prophet. And that took place approximately 9 months after the transgression. Once revealed, David urgently desired to make things right with God. With perseverance, David pleaded with the Lord for forgiveness and received it, yet was punished with the death of his newborn child, calling attention to a life for a life. As I started this talk with identifying a sin-sick world in our present time, where society is blamed for the violence and insanity we observe most every day, the idea promoted by some in the world is that mental sickness is the cause of their personal problems, and that removes all concept of personal human responsibility. Many, many people today no longer consider themselves responsible or culpable for what they do wrong. The Word of God points out that sin is the real culprit, and as King David's example, certainly the direct cause of his discouragement. And as what the Bible student knows and the world has yet to discover is that sin is the cause of all degradation and woe, the separator of man from God. Adam and Eve walked in fellowship with God. They lived in a beautiful, lush garden. Everything necessary was provided for them. All was perfect. Their work was useful. In abundant, life-saving food was provided from the tree of life. Yet Eve was deceived, and Adam sinned. And rather than seeking forgiveness, they hid themselves. And this seems the way today. Rather than confessing a sin, the natural response is to hide from it. David reflects his discouraged state before his sin was brought to light. He laments in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. This is from the New American Standard. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality failed, as with the dry heat of summer. Here was a man who had everything, comfortable living, privilege of a king, many to do his bidding, but his spirit was broken. Who can bear a broken spirit? David was very discouraged. We're reminded of David's desire to be right with God from Psalm 42, verse 5. This is from the New Living Translation. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. David's life was very difficult as a result of his sin. The Lord could have abandoned him, as was done with King Saul. But David's heart was right with God. David was repentant. David's misery proved he loved the Lord. Those that have known and have sincerely loved the Lord will long for him and become discouraged if he departs from their presence. God knew David's heart and had made a covenant promise with him, as we read in 2 Samuel 7, verses 14 and 15. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. God was bound to David with a covenant promise. And I think we all realize God has made a covenant promise to you also. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's 2 Corinthians 6:18. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. When we do wrong and become discouraged, understand that God knows your heart and the desire of it. He may teach a lesson, as with King David, but he will never leave thee or forsake thee. It might be difficult to think that any consecrated child of God can become discouraged. After all, we have the hope of the kingdom. All things, as the Apostle Paul explained, are considered as loss and dross in comparison to the hope that is within us. But hearing and seeing the accomplishment of our brethren when we ourselves feel unaccomplished might lead to thoughts of inadequacy or failure. We perhaps have difficulty with a fault or desire we cannot seem to eliminate or overcome, and become discouraged. We become discouraged thinking we are not pleasing the Heavenly Father. We must rely on God's word and the promises found in his word to maintain our faith and realize his love for us. Many Old Testament characters dealt with discouragement. The prophet Jeremiah was one who struggled with depression-type feelings. He was lonely, felt defeated and insecure. Jeremiah 20, verses 14 and 18 read, "Cursed be the day when I was born. May the day when my mother gave birth to me not be blessed. Why did I ever come out of the womb to look at trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame?" Here is a man of God in utter despair. He was the bearer of horrific news to the leaders of his people. When we review the 19th chapter of Jeremiah, we find the prophet in Jerusalem instructed to buy a potter's earthenware jar. He would then ask some elders of the people and elders of the priests to accompany him to the Valley of Ben-Hinnom to give them a message. In this valley was an area called Tophat, where we read, "In this place was filled with the blood of the innocents." That's Jeremiah 19:14. Jeremiah 7:31 reads, "And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I, the Lord God, commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." Here was the place outside of Jerusalem where sacrifices of children were offered to foreign gods. Jeremiah told this group of elders and priests what the Lord had told him, that a terrible disaster would befall Judah because of their evil, namely, building shrines to Baal, burning their children as sacrifices, and worshiping foreign gods. The Lord, through Jeremiah, said the name where they were standing would no longer be called the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. The people of Jerusalem would be slaughtered by invading armies, their dead bodies consumed by birds and wild beasts, and Jerusalem reduced to ruins. They would be tormented so badly that those remaining in the city when under siege would be forced to consume their own children as a result of starvation. Jeremiah was told to smash the earthenware jar in the presence of them and say, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, where there is no place to bury. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet, because all of the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the host of heaven and poured out drink offerings to other gods." Well, as you know, and as pronounced, the Chaldeans overran and completely sacked Jerusalem, taking those that remained alive to Babylon for the 70-year desolation period. It's no wonder that Jeremiah was discouraged and felt ill for delivering such news. Perhaps not on the delivering, but rather the inaction and mocking that resulted. In being discouraged, he wanted to give up and expressed this anguish by stating in verses 7 and 8 of Jeremiah chapter 20, "Lord, you persuaded me, and I let myself be persuaded. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in taunting and derision all day long." Have you ever felt discouraged enough to give up and not honor the call God has given you? Although Jeremiah wanted to change course, he reveals his true feelings when he says in verse 9 of chapter 20, "But if I say, I will not remember him," meaning God, "nor speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am tired of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." There were a number of times Jeremiah wanted to give up, but he could not. God's word lived in his heart, and it burned like a fire. It made him weary of holding it in. He had to tell others. Jeremiah, although discouraged with the gravity of his role, determined that his relationship to God was so important, he could not be silent. Jeremiah thought his problems would be over if he was never born. But God brought attention to the fact that he called Jeremiah before he was born or even conceived. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now that is encouraging. Doesn't that make you think about the church as a class chosen before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Does that not counteract any discouragement that might arise in you, especially when you think of being chosen to a group that had been conceived and planned before the world was, and an extremely limited group at that? What a privilege. What an opportunity. What an honor. What an encouragement. So think that you have been chosen out of the billions of mankind to be associated with our eternal God and his Son, to have an intimate role in perfecting his creation. Jeremiah felt discouraged from the constant berating of his message. He was mocked and scorned because of what he knew from God's word. Those that had opportunity to listen and act on what Jeremiah said were those that rejected him, and even more so, made him feel foolish and a failure. That may be a similar situation in which you are found. Living a life opposing the world has its difficulties. You may find yourself constantly criticized, or mocked, or not included. All possible causes of discouragement. A scripture that can help when we might feel discouraged, especially if faced with struggles the type that Jeremiah dealt with, is Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This verse will remind you that Christ is always there for you. Through and with him, you can find strength to get through the darkest of times. With the Holy Spirit operating in you, indeed, you can do all works acceptable to God. Here's an allegorical story I found on the internet that you may have heard in the past, but I do not recall ever hearing it. It was advertised that the devil was putting up for sale all of his tools. On that date, the tools were laid out. They had prices marked on them for public inspection, and there were a lot of treacherous instruments: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, pride, lying, and so on. Laid apart from the rest of the devil's tools was a tool, but it was worn more than any of the others and was priced very high. "What's the name of the tool?" asked one of its customers. "That," the devil replied, "is discouragement." "Why have you priced it so high?" "Because discouragement is more useful to me than all the others. I can pry open and get inside a man's heart with that when I cannot get near him with any other tools. It's badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since so few people know it belongs to me." Let's examine the Apostle Peter as to his discouragement. Remember, Peter's disposition included boldness as well as an impetuous, ardent temperament. Jesus' death was perplexing to him. We recall his impulsive nature in drawing his sword in defense of our Lord the night of his capture. Yet a short time later, his three denials of ever knowing the Lord brought him great discouragement. Our risen Lord, in the days after his death, during his appearance to the disciples on the beach, asked Peter, "Are you willing, once again, upon remembering your fear from the public who showed you hate, to leave your all in social life to preach the kingdom?" Peter assured Jesus he was ready. "Thou knowest all things, Lord," Peter said. "That is, you know my weakness. You know my impetuousness. You know my impulsive nature. but you also know that I love you and am determined to follow you. I'm humbled and repentant by my experiences. So Peter's example for any discouraged ones who maintain faith calls to mind Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24, NIV. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There are other examples in the Bible of those who displayed discouragement. Job said, as recorded in Job 3, verse 11, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" Job was a blessed man, but he had many blessings taken from him as a test of his character. And his experience gives a view to any regarding loss and suffering and the discouragement that can result. Job said, "I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Job 3:26. Yet the discouragement from those who tried to give him worldly advice, his friends, as well as our Lord's revealment to him of God's power and wisdom, Job learned to belittle in his own eyes and trust all the more in Jehovah God. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him," was Job's attitude and hope. The prophet Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in a great victory. Not long after, Elijah flees from the wrath of Jezebel and fears for his life. He feels defeated and discouraged. He asked the Lord to take his life. Remember, the Lord ministered to Elijah, allowing him to have an amazing recovery. Trusting in the Lord was key to Elijah's overcoming discouragement. We're not immune to the effects of discouragement. I think a possible cause of discouragement for the new creation is an expectation that does not come to fruition. Perhaps a witness to another goes well and even goes for a considerable time, yet ends in disappointment or even bitterness with rejection of the truth. Another, you study thoroughly and prepare a topic and reasoning only to find others in total disagreement. Another, you desire an elected office but do not receive the requisite votes. While these examples can be labeled as disappointments, we might assign the effects of them to be discouragement. We must realize that we cannot base our life on our emotions. And we know that our Heavenly Father gives us experiences to test our faith and build character, to attain the fruits of the Spirit that result in our highest development. I'd like to point out that those who are not discouraged or do not get discouraged may have difficulty identifying with those who are. Not experiencing the feelings of despondency themselves, they should not think or say the discouraged person should just pick themselves up and get over it. I did not believe it is that easy. How we handle bad or disappointing news affects our minds and our attitudes. Many discouraged people tend to look at the negative side of life. Often we are helpless to do anything about the negative things. That is why the Apostle Paul says in the scripture you all know so well, to meditate on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and provide a good report. That's Philippians 4, verse 8. In doing so, he says, the God of peace will be with you. The advice to replace a negative thought with a positive thought, as soon as that negative thought finds awareness in the mind, will bring our thinking into captivity. And we appreciate this admonition of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. By employing this method of replacing bad thoughts with good thoughts, Brother Russell comments on page 149 of volume 6. Setting guards upon their lives, those who have suffered disease of the soul can manifest to themselves and others that they have sought and used Jesus' assistance in gaining victories over their weaknesses. One who is a follower of the Lord cannot allow the entertaining of negative thoughts, even if they are true, and even if they have been wronged. Thus, discourage negative thoughts from entering the mind if and after some loss has occurred. Temporary disappointment or sadness of loss is natural, but it cannot continue long term without having its negative, discouraging effects. Now let's look at some scriptures that will help in our fight against discouragement. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, NIV. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We're not alone. Our Lord will always be available to help us. A comment from Brother Russell in reprint 4100. The Lord, our great deliverer, is on our part. We have laid hold upon one who is mighty to save. Yea, more, he has laid hold upon us. Neither will he let us go, so long as our hearts are loyal to him. John 16:33, NIV. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Peace of heart comes from having faith in the promises of God. This is the peace of God that enables one to endure their trials. I wrote the word down cheerfully, and that maybe they can endure their trials in a positive way. Matthew 11, verse 28, New American Standard. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Feelings of discouragement can often be a heavy burden. Do not make the mistake that you alone must carry that burden. Jesus will provide relief if you ask. 1 Peter 5, 7, NIV. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discouragement can bring anxiety, which can be isolating. As long as you trust Jesus, he is there to relieve your worry, your troubled mind. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10, NIV. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. These verses remind us that the Lord is always available to give help. He is a refuge, providing a condition of safety or shelter from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Isaiah 41, verse 10, New American Standard. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. He who exercises faith can have peacefulness. You will find strength you need to overcome discouragement by placing your trust in God. Psalm 34, verse 18, New American Standard. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is aware of those who are discouraged and despairing, lacking hope. Our discouragement may be necessary so that we can aid those in the kingdom by understanding their experiences with discouragement. Take comfort in knowing that God is always there for you. No matter what troubles you may face, his love allows us to extend that comfort to others. This was a type of talk that did not have a prophetic message, a revealment of God's plan through hidden types, or proof of chronological accuracy, or analysis of history and individuals pertinent in establishing a reasonable basis for the truth. Rather, this started out as a talk on depression, which I changed to discouragement, with the hope that any that have an issue with discouragement can find some realization in knowing this tends to be a common problem. We all share discouraging feelings from time to time. And if we allow discouragement to gain control of our attitude, we can be crippled in our progress in the way. These are difficult times in which we live. As the time of trouble becomes more intense, the opportunity to become discouraged increases. We fight discouragement with our knowledge of and faith in God's word and continually seek his strength and spirit. I do not know whether this talk provided help to any who might feel discouragement, but I hope so. This is memorial season. By thinking deeply as to how and what the Lord has accomplished with his sacrifice, we should feel encouraged. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for you. You're very special to the Lord and one of the highly favored. This is a sober time, but a joyous time. Consider 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So I'm going to conclude with a scripture from Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. In the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. May God overrule and bless these considerations.